And we should always be looking forward into a new year. And some might question, with all that's happened, and it is a lot that has happened. I think I feel like I've seen more digression in the last 3 years than I have seen in the last 10 years. When we see Hamas in Israel, and if you know your Bible, you know that Israel does not occupy the land, they own the land. God gave them the title to it. You see Russia and you see Ukraine. And let me tell you, there's a lot of things under the rug that we don't know about. We have, you know, conspiracy theories, and some of them are maybe far out, and some of them are far out and so possible. And it makes, I think, sometimes it steals the joy and the desire that God wants us to have in this new year. I don't want to sit here and talk about tonight all the things that are wrong with our country and with our world. I want to just touch on it, and this is not a profound message by any stretch. This is something that you could sit down, and if you thought about it, you could just write it out. But I think that they're keynotes that we need to keep filed in our minds so that we can stay on that winning side, so that we can look with favor and with optimism and with excitement into this new year. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17, God gave me three things from this verse. Here the Bible says, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. There is going to be a judgment day. We know that. And, you know, we're not going to be judged upon our works or upon our goodness as far as our salvation is being spoken of. We are flawed. We have failed. We are sinners. And Christ, what he accomplished at Calvary, what he accomplished there is why we rejoice in our salvation. But he's going to judge the righteous and the wicked. But there's three things here in this latter part of this verse. It's for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. And I circled there is a time. The time is 2024. That's our time. That's the time God has given us. We don't know how many of us tonight who began this new year. We don't know how many of us will be here this time next year. There's a lot of things that are uncertain. We do know that he loves us. We do know that he wants nothing but good for us. We do know he's done nothing but good for us. He's never hurt us, harmed us. We can trust him. But there is a time, and this time is 2024. And then he says there is there for every purpose. And this year, we need to find what purpose God has for us. What is the purpose God has for you for this year? I know there are things in the world that never change, but maybe our purpose will shift. And what we did this past year, the last 2 or 3 years, maybe he'll shift that purpose. We have some here who were pastoring at one time. They've retired from pastoring. They're refired in ministry. They're serving the Lord. But their purpose has changed somewhat. So when your purpose changed, it doesn't mean that, you know, you've walked away or you've sinned. It means that God has made that change. He's brought about that evolution in your life. And you need to find that purpose. There is a time. The time's the new year. There is a purpose. Our purpose is what God would have us to do. And then he says, and for every work. And this year, we should find that purpose and find that work. And I want you to know, we should give our all to it for the glory of God. Now, I wrote down some things why I'm optimistic about this new year. Let me tell you what they are. Number one, I'd like to say that we should be optimistic because God, and by the way, these will be around the word still, S-T-I-L-L, because God is still on his throne. God is still on the throne. And it's his throne. And we don't have to worry about evil people across the ocean or evil people here in our land. Now, I think that doesn't take away our civic responsibility of standing up and voting and saying what's right and doing what's right and reinforcing the Bible values and principles. But I want you to know, God is still on His throne. And we can sweat bullets and we can worry about... Look up in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14. Powerful verse. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that man should fear before Him. God is still on His throne. And let me tell you something, friend. God is going to have His way. He's going to have His way. We're reminded of Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. A well-known verse. You know it well. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. That's who we have in our corner. We should be optimistic because we are the children of God. God is still on His throne. Things might have gone screwy up in the Capitol. Things might go screwy over in China or over in Russia or in Ukraine or over in Israel or wherever. But God is still on His throne. We're reminded in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Joy spoke about it earlier, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes. He's always the same. And that brings about a comfort to us. That brings about a life that we can live. So in this time, we can find our purpose and we can do every work. We can do our work. Not only should we be optimistic because He is still on His throne, but because the blood of Christ still has its power. The blood of Christ is powerful, the Bible tells us. Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. His blood still has the power to wash away our sins. Can I tell you this? Listen to me. You think of the most despicable, heinous, horrible sin you can think of, and I want to tell you what. His blood washes it clean. You say, well, I'm not the average sinner. I do a little bit more than profanity. I do a little bit more than pornography. I've gotten into some things and the world has twisted me. And I want you to know every sin that's ever been committed or ever will be committed was nailed to His cross. And through His blood that has not lost it, it still has its power to wash away our sins. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 19 says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Amen. I didn't stutter. I just wanted to make the emphasis on it. Understand, I think we should be optimistic. God is still on His throne. His blood still has its power. And thirdly, because we still have a heavenly home. You know, I'm going to work that in there. He tells us in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He's been preparing this place for some 2,000 years or so. We have a place. I think about heaven often. I have friends out there. I have family that's there. I don't know what it's going to be like. I know what it's not going to be like. I'm not going to be an angel. I'm not an angel now, and I won't be an angel there either. I hear people say, and bless their hearts, they mean kindness out of it, but, well, you know, he's my guardian angel now. Or, well, you know, I sure will miss him. I sure will miss her, but she got her wings. And I'm thinking, no, no. What is it? No, no, nope. That's right. I don't think we're going to be on clouds. I can't see Jason Sharp on the clouds from in a harp. You know, I don't get that vision there. He's no angel. He's not going to be an angel up there either, let me tell you. You know, we have all this ridiculous stuff given to us. But that's not what the Bible says at all. But I know this. The Bible does say we'll see Him face to face and we shall be as He is. The Bible says there'll be no sadness there, no sorrow. The Bible says there'll be no sin there. There'll be no sickness. There won't be any wheelchairs. There won't be any walkers up there. Well, no crutches up there. I don't think there'll be any titanium up there, I don't think. And we'll have a glorified body. I'm just saying we have a heavenly home. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men. We can't even imagine it, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I'm optimistic about that. This might be the year the Lord comes in the clouds. This could be it. Listen, the next event, prophetic event on the calendar is the rapture. We recently went through the eschatology of the different steps and stages of what's going to happen. And I want you to know, our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't. I have seen a lot. I have traveled and I've seen things that made you go say, wow. I've seen some things on postcards, and then I stood right there in real time life and felt, man, it's bigger than they could ever capture on a postcard. I've seen some other things too, and I thought, nah, not too impressive what you got there. But I just want to say, the Bible says clearly that it hasn't entered into our heart what it's going to be like. All we know is this. And what we have is the aftermath of a great fall. That's what we have. That's what we're existing in. We're not what God created. We're far from that since Adam's fall. And we've digressed even more. That's why we don't live 900 years. But there in heaven, we'll be with Him. We'll see Him. And we can talk about streets of gold. We can talk about gates of pearl. We can talk about the crystal sea. We talk about jasper walls. We talk about the cherubim, the seraphims, and the angels that are going to be there, and the music that's going to be there. But I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be with Him. And it may be this year. Fourthly, we ought to be optimistic because the Word of God still is true and life-changing. You know, I think ministry is harder than it's ever been. I thought when I got to be a little bit older and you pastor somewhere for so many years that it would get a little bit easier, but it's harder than ever. It's never. And I talked to other pastors. I think of Pastor Stowe. He's been pastoring there for 34 years. Pastor Allison, I think he's been in his church for 34, 35 years. And they agree with me. We all talk about this. But I want you to know, we have the Word of God and it still has its power. Yes. It is a living book. It is true. It's the truth that sets us free. It is life changing. He tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures is given by inspiration. It is God breathed. That's why this book is different than every other book on the shelf and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. God tells us His word will not come back void. It will not. When we give the word, whether it's in a convalescent home, whether it's in a jail or a prison, whether it's in a Sunday school class, or if it's on a rickety old Baptist church bus that has been retired from other places, if the word of God is given, it will not come back void. The Bible tells us clearly that we will prosper. It's going to accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. Let me say that I think that we should be optimistic because the presence of God still surpasses our fears. Now, there's a lot of fears that we can have. They're talking about an unseasonable winter this year. I'm sure it's that doggone global warming that we've been hearing about. You know, we bought a new house 6 or 7 years ago. We moved from the big old house and all that land to have to deal with. I like just a little bitty yard. Clayton and I bought a yard so small And I bought a lawnmower, John Deere, so big that I go up twice and I'm done. You know, yeah. And we bought this little house, and when it gets so cold, it got below zero, under zero, and the joints in this house separate. I look there and watch it. And when the summer comes back, it comes back and closes again, you know. So I'm glad it does that, because I don't have to get up there and caulk it if it's going to come back. But we lost all these bushes that died because it was -3 degrees. Remember that? And everything. It's global warming. I'm sure it's what it is. But we have all kinds of fears that come our way. You have nutcases that go into places and just spray and shoot and kill children and women. They have no targets. They just want to kill anybody. But you know, there's something about having the presence of God. And I hope you feel Him. Now, I want to be careful because we get off on the charismatic way with that and feeling God. But I want you to know, you can feel Him. This past year, man, I tell you what, if you look at my body from the surgeries I've had this past year, it looks like I was in Vietnam. I've had 2 back surgeries, a hip replacement, gallbladder, ruptured appendix over the years. My body looks like a Rand McNally map. You know, there's lines running everywhere. But when they rolled me back in that second back surgery, I was in surgery combined together, 2 of them, 13 hours. In that second surgery, nothing was going right. They couldn't get an IV in me. They were sticking me everywhere. They're calling the doctors in to see if they could. It was just nothing was going right. And they waited. They wouldn't let Debbie come back for a while. And she finally was able to get back. They got me stuck and going. But as we were rolling through the hospital, and you're laying down, you're seeing that ceiling. You know what I'm talking about. And then you go into this big, bright room that serves as a meat locker. It's freezing cold. This was a huge room, largest surgery room I've ever seen. And there was the anesthesia people, there must have been 15 of them. And they're doing all kinds. They're working on me like there's no tomorrow. And they put this mask on me and they said, now we're going to, Mr. Rick, when they call you Mr. Rick, it means you're old. You know, it's not, hey, Rick. It's not Pastor Savage. It's not Pastor Mr. Rick. It's because you're old. I said, we're going to put you to sleep now. We've got a few more things to do. But I want to tell you something. He was there. I sensed him. And I told him, I said, they put the mask on and I pulled it back. And I said, hey, people, do your best work today. I'm going to sleep. And I went to sleep. I didn't wake up as happy as I went to sleep, let me tell you. But he's there. And there's times that fears and anxiety. Can I tell you this? And listen, I mean this with the bottom of my heart. You don't need anxiety medicine. You need Jesus. You know? You don't, listen, you don't need a pill. If you swallow the gospel, you'll be fine. And he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I'm his own. We sang these songs, but I'll tell you, man, I live it. And he was there. I was with Debbie Vaughn, and I know they're in the hospital room watching this right now. And God's doing a miracle there. The doctors came in and said, we're no longer optimistic. And she had plummeted down. And she has a heart pump, and she has a pacemaker, and she has a dialysis machine, and she has all this stuff. And we all have been praying for her, and we prayed, and we asked the Lord specifically to give us baby steps of improvement to encourage us. And then we asked God in the name of Jesus to raise her up. And 2 days, she was no improvement. But now, since they put this trach in, she can nod and she's communicating and she's very conscious. And they've taken, the oxygen tube away, and they've taken the dialysis, the large machine off. And it's after the doctor said, we're not optimistic anymore. I want you to, and I was talking to Debbie, She had this carotid artery. And the doctor, I was there at 5:30 in the morning at the hospital. And he was not promising her anything. He was very direct with her. And God brought her through that. And then the day before her open heart, she had a heart attack. We were so upset over it, wasn't we? And I was sitting there talking with Debbie before they took her back for the open heart. And her children are there. Some are believers, some are not. Her grandchildren, some are believers, some are not. And she said, Pastor, she said, when I went for that surgery, he was there. I had just overwhelming peace, and his presence was there. And she says, I don't know how this open heart's going to go, but I know this. When I open my eyes, I'm going to be okay wherever I'm at. I want you to know, you see, we should be optimistic because the presence of God still surpasses our fears. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And there's been some times where I said, Lord, this is Rick. He knew exactly who I was. He didn't say Rick who. He knew exactly who I was. And I said, Lord, it's a difficult time. Would you lower your bridge? And would you raise the gate so that I might run in to your strong tower? And I want you to know, friend, next thing I knew, I heard the gate shutting behind me and the drawbridge coming up. He is our strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Then lastly, let me say, we should be optimistic because God still commands us to reach the lost. We've got another year to reach lost people. Oh, there's some I'm working on. And there's some, listen, there's some God's working on. Man, I mean to tell you, you want to see if there's a God or not. When you pray, when all the professional people say there's not much hope here or we're no longer optimistic and God raises people up. You see, understand the Lord has given us more time to reach the lost. He tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're reminded in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, be prepared, be ready, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. These are the different things that are in good preaching. He says, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Soul winning. Man, listen, get on a children's ministry, get in a bus route, get busy supporting missions. We have been given. Well, listen, we should be optimistic because God still commands us to reach the lost. Now, let me close with this last passage. This is bless my heart. You might all want to mark it. It's in Isaiah 43. And I think this is the verse that I'm claiming for this year. I usually claim a verse. Isaiah 43:18. He says, remember ye not the former things. He's telling me to forget about what's the nastiness of this past year. Neither consider the things of old. He says, behold, I do a new thing. This is a new year for us. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let me tell you, he's going to make a way for us this year. in the wilderness, and he's going to provide rivers in the desert. That's why we ought to be optimistic. Don't you listen to the news. I hadn't listened to the news so long. I turned the news on by accident the other day. I thought, that guy's still alive. I hadn't seen him in so long. He hadn't changed anything. It's nothing but bad news. I don't listen to that stuff. Let me tell you this. Every morning, I get my news from right here. And that's when we can be encouraged and optimistic. And let's serve the Lord till He comes. And God's people said, let's stand to our feet. Lord, we love You and we're grateful for Your goodness. We have a lot to be thankful for. We could be thankful for that spouse that's beside our side tonight. We could be thankful for the spouse that You gave us for many years and now he or she are with You. We could be thankful for the children that we have in our life and our grandchildren. We could be thankful, as been given already, about and a testimony for our church. And we have a loving church and a church that is a praying church. And Lord, I pray that we not go into this new year fearful, questioning, reserved. For Lord, this is the time. Help us to find our purpose and do the work. You are still on Your throne. The blood still has its power. We still have a heavenly home waiting for us. God's word still is true and life-changing. Your presence still surpasses our fears. And You still command us to eagerly go after the lost. Lord, help us as we enter this new year, just in a few hours now. Help us, Lord, to claim these words, Your word, not to remember the former things or to consider the old, but Lord, that You're going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert for Your children. That's who You are. We have something the lost know nothing about. They have no compass to give them direction. They have no anchor to help them to stay. But we have that and much more. Lord, help us to rejoice, to take this new time, to find that new purpose, and to accomplish that new work till You come. In Thy name I pray. As God leads you tonight, come and find yourself a place at the altar and pray yourself in a new dedication, a new commitment to Jesus in this new year.